Join me in Philippians chapter 3, if you have your Bibles. If not, it'll be on the projection in front of you. Give ear to the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of the living God. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the target, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Also let us hold true, only let us hold true to what we have attained. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Paul was a man who had it all. Look with me again at verses 4 through 6. He gives a list of the accomplishments of his life. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to a Jew, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. According to worldly standards, Paul was at the top of his game. And according to Jewish traditions, he had more confidence in than most. He was probably the greatest theologian that walked this earth, aside from Jesus Christ himself. However, after meeting Jesus Christ on that Damascus road, of which this was written afterwards, of course, he says he considers all of that stuff, all of that Jewish traditional good stuff, all of those worldly good stuff things, he considers them all rubbish. Rubbish. He refers to those accomplishments that are listed here as a waste to be thrown out to the dogs. Here he tears down all the fleshly, worldly attributes and throws them all away that he would have confidence in. These external worldly accomplishments that have no merit in his faith, he said, I'll throw them all away. In verse 7, he writes, but whatever gain I had, I counted it a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Consider all as a loss in order that you might gain Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are you in that place? Am I in that place? We in the United States are a very accomplishment-based people. We do things. We gain things. We like our stuff. We are materialistic. We feel like if we do not go to college and get that college education from that great university, then we possibly have failed. But we take all of that that we've gained and throw it on the dung heap and consider it rubbish in order to gain Christ Jesus. That's what Paul is saying here. But there's another step which Paul desires. Gaining Christ included something very, very important for Paul, and I pray for us. It's found in verse 10, and he says all of this. He's throwing it all away. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul desires to know Jesus Christ, but then go further than just that head knowledge, but to have the power of the resurrection in Jesus Christ. Paul already knew the Lord Jesus by faith. He knocked him off that horse on the Damascus Road, got Paul's attention. Paul became a believer. He looked to Jesus and he knew the power of his death, but he now desired more. He wanted what he called the power of the resurrection. And Paul desired an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus. Yes, becoming a Christian requires that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know who he is, who he claimed to be, the eternal Son of God. You must know the things he did and the things he taught. You need to understand that he died on the cross for your and my sins, and that he raised bodily from that grave of which we celebrate today. However, it's not enough. It's not enough to know about those things. You most importantly need to know Christ intimately and personally. Not know about him, but know him. And again, as we've said many times, this word know in biblical text is a very intimate, very personal, intimate term. Those of you who were married, you know your spouse. And children are born. That's where we're at. That's that level of knowledge. That's that level of know. And that's what Paul desires. The relationship with Jesus Christ begins when the Holy Spirit leads you to recognize that your sins have separated you from God and that you need a Savior. Then you're led by the Spirit to realize that you cannot save yourself. I don't get to heaven because my good stack is taller than my bad stack. Folks, my bad stack's way taller than my good stack. But we get there through the salvation of Jesus Christ. Letting go of all human accomplishments. We, like Paul in Philippians 3, verse 8, should say, indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. For this sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. We shift. We should shift from self accomplishments to Christ accomplishments. Namely, his sinless life, his death on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension. That's what brings salvation to us. We should desire a personal communion with the Lord Jesus Christ at such a point that we would feel him at every step, every point in our lives. Paul's great desire was to have within himself the life and power of Jesus Christ. And please know that all Paul desired to experience was always in connection with the Lord himself. He always, in other of his writings, he says, I preach Jesus Christ crucified. If I preach anything else, then I'm preaching a false religion. I'm preaching Christ and him crucified. That's at the center of our faith. That resurrection is at the center of our faith. It's always in the connection with Jesus Christ. It's not about the religion of Christianity. So many today are involved in church, yes. but they're involved in the mechanics of the religion. They're involved in the mechanics of the religion, and it's not about the ministry. It's not about the actions of faith. It's not about the things we do here. It's about a relationship with a person. It's about a relationship with a person, Jesus Christ. Again, Paul says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. And this is where the pursuit begins with Jesus Christ, the person, the Son of God. You cannot know any of this until you know him first. You cannot be a beneficiary of the work of Jesus Christ until you know him first. You cannot disconnect from the struggles and the influences of this world until you know Jesus Christ. And as we spoke of this morning at sunrise, the peace that Jesus Christ brings because we have been reconciled to God. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior, the Redeemer. And to have any benefit of his resurrection, you must first know him personally. So a good evangelistic preacher right now would ask the question, do you know him personally? And ask Susan to pray just as I am and have an altar call. That's not necessary. But I am going to ask you the question, do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ intimately, personally, the person, not the religion, the person of Jesus Christ, that personal, fervent relationship? Because it starts there. It starts there. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was in itself an incredible, incredible display of power. And see, this is what Paul is after: understanding and gaining this power. And Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead, that was an incredible display of power. To raise the dead body of our Lord from the tomb was as great a work as creation. When the Lord God spoke and creation came into being, when Jesus Christ raised up out of that tomb, those two events reveal an incredible power of our Creator. This was a special instance of our Lord's power. He said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. He also said that he had the power to lay it down and he had the power to take it up again. This is what Paul's after. No mere man going to his grave could say, I have the power to take up my life again. Death leaves a man powerless, and he cannot restore himself. Jesus Christ, being God, was master over death. He showed that with the raising of Lazarus. But here the death was his. Here the death was his. How can a dead being give life when there is no life? See, this is why I have such an issue with evolutionary teaching. It's teaching that life came from dead. That's impossible. Life can only come from life. Jesus Christ here was dead in that tomb. But God the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit were alive and well. And so when Jesus Christ raised up out of that tomb, life, giving life, it can come from nowhere else. So what are the implications of attaining this kind of power? What is behind this and what is involved in having this level of power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrection? Well, first of all, as I gave it away just then, it means the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee of your salvation. And there's one way, surefire way you know you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. One surefire way. If you sin and are convicted, the Holy Spirit's there. If you sin and not convicted, Try it next time. And we will see it. Anytime we speak of power associated with the Godhead, you're talking about the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers everything associated with God. Saving power, the Holy Spirit. Healing power, the Holy Spirit. Power for living a godly life. How can we live according to the commandments of God? The Holy Spirit. When Paul desires the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he is praying for the maturing of the Holy Spirit within him. That's what he's praying for. The Holy Spirit's there, and he's redeemed. But he wants not the Holy Spirit to grow, but for him to mature in that work of the Holy Spirit. He desires to be attentive to the Spirit's leading, and that he be led daily by his presence. That's part of that power of the resurrection he's looking for. The power of the Holy Spirit. Being keen to the movement and leading of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the power of the resurrection means that we have victory over death. Provides the Christian for victory over death. Paul writes in Romans 6, "For if we have been united with him in death like this, like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." With Jesus' resurrection, we too will raise from that old cold grave unless the Lord Jesus comes back first. And Paul and we should desire to live in that power that brings this kind of understanding. I mentioned at Miss Vivian's funeral on Thursday the hope a Christian has beyond the grave. The hope the Christian has beyond the grave. As we talked about in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, a Christian, and this is hard for us to get our minds around, yes, the Christian will die from this existence, but that's not death. That's just the removal of this body. We walk through the shadow of death. Not death. Death does not consume us. Because of Jesus Christ's resurrection, we walk right through that shadow. As the psalmist says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't walk into death. I keep going. There's hope beyond the grave. The next implication of the power of the resurrection is life. Just simply put, it's life. Jesus Christ himself said, "I am the resurrection and the life." I am the resurrection and the life. And I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus is life and resurrection, and the power it gives life. You see, Christianity is a religion that concentrates on life. We protect life. We should do everything possible to sustain life. We should thrive to thrive, excuse me for the double use of the word. We should be thriving in life. And true living as God desires does not begin until this life is over. Yes, God calls us into this life and he gives us purpose. But we truly do not begin living as he desires for us to live until we pass through that valley of the shadow of death. And that is nothing we should fear. That is nothing we should fear. There is new life and hope beyond the grave, and that is the life the Christian was created to live, and that is with Jesus for all eternity. And that was set aside and named before the creation of the world. These are just a few of the implications that Paul desired when he said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. He's got the Holy Spirit. He's got life. But Paul didn't stop there because he understands it's a process. Sanctification, growing into Christ, is a process. In verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." Beautiful passage. I press on. I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. But be like Paul and press on to attain that which Christ Jesus has already gotten you and prepared it for you. Excuse me. Matthew Henry writes, "He forgets the things which were behind, so as not to be content with past labors. He reached forth, stretched himself forward, showing great concern to become more and more like Christ. He who runs a race must never stop short of the end, but press forward as fast as he can. So those who have heaven in their view must still press forward to it in holy desires and hopes. I hope and pray everyone in this room has that same desire to press on. Not be content with where I am today. Not be content with the level of power I have in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to grow. I want to grow. I hope you do. As we've celebrated this weekend, Jesus Christ took that cross for you and me, as decreed by the Father. He died. He did not swoon. No one stole him from that cross. He was dead, cold, dead in that tomb. And until the Father had given him that time, that appointed time, of which he would come up out of that tomb. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, he came up out of that tomb. He did this not only to bring justice to the Father because of his name being defamed so much by our sin, but to bring us the blessing of salvation and to show you his love. I've said this many times and I'll say it again. There is one word that we have that you know God loves you. There's one word to describe God loving you, and it's Easter. It's Easter. That great act of the cross and the resurrection, the ascension, all of that proves God's love for the believer. But to give, he also came to give the Holy Spirit and to give the power of the resurrection to a people. So I pray you, like Paul, first belong to Jesus Christ. You know him as Savior. And that you desire for that power of the Holy Spirit, that power of the resurrection, to mature and grow within you as well. And let us live in the power of the resurrection. Let us pray together. Indeed, Father, we do pray for this, as Paul has written here. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Yes, indeed, Lord, you have taken us to yourself, named us as your children, for those who acknowledge you as Lord, and grow us, Holy Spirit, in that power that Paul speaks of. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.